there are teams that do and teams that don't. There are managers that do and managers that don't.
My head would be on Jupiter, mate.
Don't come at me, but they're not as much of a Premier League establishment.
No, no, definitely not. I would have.
I wouldn't have. I would have got
Dominic Calvert-Lewin by his dreads and yeeted him around the dressing room, stupid twat.
Just throwing it out there, yeah? It's time to bring back Moyes.
This guy, I think he's pants, and I've seen so many Spurs fans call for him not to be in the starting team anymore.
It's not about how hard you get hit. It's about how hard you can get hit.
What? What an absolute fraudulent performance from that guy.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Board Draw, episode 108. And we're back giving you our thoughts on the Premier League. It was a big weekend of football. We saw the North London derby. We saw some capitulations. We saw some absolute prime Barclays man goals in the Premier League this week.
Shout out John Duran every single time.
Mate, him, Harvey Barnes as well.
Harvey Barnes, ooh.
Fantastic strikes.
Good.
We're going to kick it straight off with the Premier match of the weekend, the North London derby. And if you haven't seen our videos, go check them out. We did a couple of videos with Sonny. We done one with the
Matt back in the net.
Yep, United by Football as
United
well.
United by Football as well.
So obviously the game's over now, it's happened.
But you can go tag them everywhere. I'll tag them everywhere.
Go back and check out those videos and see just how correct we were with our predictions. But yeah, it was a good weekend for Arsenal fans, weren't it? It was a bit shaky going into it. What are your thoughts?
A little bit shaky. Like Luke said, check out those videos because we gave our thoughts going into the game. Obviously, no Rice, no Odegaard, no Calafiori. And Spurs, full strength pretty much. Yeah. Dom Solanke back, Mickey van der Ven back. At Spurs' stadium as well. Everything was heading towards a Spurs win.
Yeah, the all
apart
the
apart from
impetus.
Those dusty boys at Spurs that can't catch a dub against us for neither love nor money, mate.
What's that? 3 years now. Without...
3 years in a row we run that stadium.
That's mad. That is nuts. I mean,
we've already got more wins at Spurs' stadium than they have at the Emirates, and the Emirates has been about for like 15 years.
That's nuts.
That is nuts.
I mean, yeah, like you said, the whole impetus on this game was for Spurs to go and get something whilst Arsenal weren't at full strength. And could they do that? No. Did they put up a good showing, though? Potentially.
Yeah. I think there's different aspects to talk about. There's the kind of... And that's what we said about Spurs going into this game. Like, yes, they're only on 4 points this season. But better team against Leicester, better team against Newcastle, better team against Everton.
Only one of those games, they come out with the correct result.
So it's like, you can talk about Spurs' performances, and we will give them kind of credit where it's due, and you can talk about that aspect. But you've also got to talk about getting points on the board. I think after that 10-game run that Ange had when he first started, I think they're on like 40 points from 33 games or something like that. It's like relegation form.
That's nuts.
And so there's that aspect to talk about it as well. There's the, yes... And I think that's why you see Spurs fans kind of splitting. You've got half that think, yes. It's weirdly, in my opinion, kind of like the Arsenal situation, but a bit shitter version. Like, the Arsenal situation, it's kind of like, we go for another season of contending for the title, but play good football, might not win anything.
Mm.
And you've got half the fan base saying, yeah, that's enough. And half the fan base saying, no, if Arteta doesn't win anything this season... get him out. And to a shitter extent, Spurs have got this thing where they're playing nice football that the fans have wanted for ages, blah, blah, blah. So half the fan base are happy with that. But now you've got half the fan base that can see that the points aren't there, the form is relegation worthy, the defence is really poor, the defending set pieces is really poor. So you've got a split in the fan base there. And it's quite an interesting situation going on at Spurs at the moment.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think there are teams that do and teams that don't. There are managers that do and managers that don't. And you can have all the flourishments. You can make the play look really beautiful and brilliant to watch. And that only gets you so far, though. Mourinho, serial winner. Terrible football. Bare trophies.
Come on.
Spurs didn't want that.
No.
Spurs didn't want that.
They sacked him before a final.
Conte, serial winner. Terrible football. Wins trophies. Ange. Brilliant football, wins trophies in his second season.
Which we'll talk about.
Is it going to happen? Fucking no chance. I mean, you can play brilliant football, But if you can't put the ball in the back of the fucking net, it counts for naught. They had so many opportunities this game where if they had Harry Kane on that pitch, he would have put it in the back of the net.
Yeah, they've got problems in both thirds. The middle third is... It's weird because
that's the fucking part that we picked on.
Yeah, the middle third is like their weakest point, yet they don't have as many problems there as they do defensively. I think their defence is shambolic. You see Spurs fans absolutely rimming Van de Ven and Romero. And maybe individually they have good games, but as a whole collective unit, Vicario, Udogi, Porro, Van de Ven, Romero, it's not solid enough. I think they've kept, what is it, like 3 clean sheets in like Ange's entire tenure or something
obviously,
like that?
Obviously, the style of football they play is going to mean they concede more.
Yeah.
But you won't win anything if you constantly concede. You won't win a cup because you run the risk of conceding.
Facts.
If that team you're up against, for you've got to play your group, you're like your round of 16, your knockout, all your knockout rounds, yeah? You play like 5, 6 games, 7 games, get to the final, yeah? One of those games you're going to go behind, and that team is going to who scored is going to be better defensively than you, and you won't win, and you'll get knocked out. You know, and that is just the brutal nature of football, is that you have most successful teams are built on a foundation of being solid defensively.
Yeah.
Then they have special players up top who make the difference. That is the formula for a winning team.
100%. People say Arteta plays terrorist football, mate. Best defensive record in the league.
Probably in Europe.
In Europe. Our away form is a joke in 2024. We've played 11 away games, won 10.
I think you can see 3 goals in like 20 away games.
It's tapped stats.
It's
and
phenomenal.
Like you said, it's built on, in my opinion, and I assume the opinion of like a lot of football watchers, probably the best defence in Europe.
Oh, 100%. I mean, this comparison where people say, would you rather Spurs' back line or Arsenal's back line? If you say Spurs' back line, you're done for. You lop your head off. You're stupid.
Sharky does football pods. I saw so many people saying that preseason. Shut up.
Yes, it echoes what you're saying. Romero, obviously he's a good defender. Obviously he's maybe a world-class defender. He's won things with his country. Like
very good on the ball. You can tell why like Spurs fans like him.
Van de Ven. He is a good defender. He's a bit of a pace merchant, but he's a good defender.
Yeah.
Udogi, a good player. Terrible start to the season, getting cooked week in, week out, but we know he's a good player. Pedro Porro, we know that he's a good player, but all these players are like almost better going forward than they are defensively.
Yeah, that is pretty much it, yeah.
Like, that'll only get you so far.
Yeah, that's bang on, to be fair.
If you only have Yves Bissouma as your defensive midfielder, he's not protecting those players enough.
No.
And you will suffer for it. And they have. Going into this game, we knew just how bad Spurs were at defending set pieces. And that is exactly what proved the difference. And they happened to come up against a team who has scored like 22 goals from set pieces last season.
Set piece FC, come on.
Ridiculous.
And yeah, I know. It's a weird one because obviously we're so dominant at set pieces. And throughout the game, I could tell we were pushing the set pieces, but we didn't really have one that was super clinical. They were defending set pieces okay. But it's just one moment and like lapse of concentration. Like Romero, like I said, Spurs fans absolutely rim this guy. Like he's a mentality monster, blah, blah, blah. Mate, the way he got dominated by Gabriel, oh my God, it was sickening.
Let me run you through some of the stats here from the game.
Do it.
So Spurs had 64% possession to Arsenal's 36.
I think this season, their average possession is the highest in the league. I think it's above 70 in all 3 games they've played.
Yeah, and that's because they played well.
But what have they got to show for it?
They had 15 attempts on goal with 5 shots on target. Arsenal already had 8 attempts on goal, but had 4 shots on target. It's better quality of chance.
But like that's more decisive in the final third.
What this is exactly, this leads on to my following point. They got 11 free kicks that game. Arsenal 15. The difference in quality of player is what gets you those free kicks. Saka being able to beat his man. Martinelli being able to beat his man. Trossard being able to beat his man. Havertz being able to beat his man.
Referee that's
completely. And they only had one corner more than you. They had an XG of 0.84.
We had more.
Arsenal had an XG of 0.66.
Oh, less. Fair.
So only a 1.8 difference there.
It's just all about, and I've seen Spurs fans say that they've got more problems in the attacking final third than the defensive final third. And whilst I do agree with that, I think there's equal problems everywhere, really. But in terms of the attacking final third, I do see what the Spurs fans are saying there. The build-up is really good. I think they have, like, in the league, most touches in opposition box. But 4 points.
It's indecisive.
They just get there. And I don't know if it's players that panic, if they're not making the right options, if Ange is, like, coach them into playing one too many passes around the final third. You've got a lot of players, I think, just aren't good enough for where Spurs think and hope they should be. Like, I like Brennan Johnson, but I think he blows hot and cold in the final third. Kulusevski's the same. I think he's a bit of like a passion merchant.
He'll get to the final third. I think he is a moments player.
We'll talk about so in a minute. Madison, what an absolute fraudulent performance from that guy.
Talking loud as well before the game.
He talks loud. He says, oh, we're going to have to retaliate after last season's performance. This guy, I think he's pants. And I've seen so many Spurs fans call for him not to be in the starting team anymore. They played a really attacking midfield three of Bentancur with Kulusevski and Madison in front. Very attacking. And
Bentancur had a stinker, in my opinion.
It played into their hands because they had a lot of possession and they did dominate the midfield to an extent. But dominating the midfield's all well and good. Arsenal knew that they were going to do that. We had
two of your key midfields.
Yeah, we had like our D version of our midfield, but they were happy to let Spurs play it around. We sit back in a very compact, kind of tight midfield and suck it all up, mate. We've got the best defence in the league.
I mean, and that's what was proven that this game. I mean, Timber, I thought he was imperious.
Oh, so good, man. Physically, means Zinchenko done out.
He's so good. Mm. On the ball, he's so composed.
And Spurs fans, we're not even going to dignify the debate of he should have been red carded or not because it just wasn't anywhere near.
No.
I thought you were going to have me there. No, it was nowhere near. I don't even want to hear it.
But yeah, I don't know. It's just indecisiveness in the final third for them. I have really no bad idea. Solanke had maybe a couple of shots that he should have put away. Maybe if he was a bit more in red hot form.
Fresh, yeah.
If he had a bit, like, I don't know, a bit more match time this beginning of the season. But yeah, it just, they lack in that bite.
Yeah, I think they've just got not enough players that, yeah, can take the game by the scruff of the neck. Like, I think the game gets like this game where it was 0-0. You want a big player like Gabriel to fucking do one of those. They have no one that does that. Madison goes hiding. Son goes hiding. The back line went hiding. Like, Brennan Johnson goes hiding. You've got just a lot of players that I think shirk responsibility.
Yeah, and it's 2 points lost for Spurs. They should have come out of this game with at least a draw. Mm. At least a draw. And I think maybe Arsenal fans would have been less happy than Spurs fans, they've taken a draw from that game. But now they're four games in and they've got 4 points on the board.
It's not good.
And it's even worse because it's amplified the fact they're playing good football, but they're not seeing the rewards for it.
Yeah.
And that will only get you so far. It will only get you so far.
Just teasing.
Does it get better for Spurs?
It can't get much worse. 4 points from four games is actually very, very bad considering who they've played. Like,
I'm going to see who they've got in
a newly promoted side, 1 point. Everton, 3 points, who are pretty much relegation fodder. And then the two big games they've had, they lost them both. And they were, in quotation marks, the better team.
And I would argue it doesn't really get much easier for them because they've got Brentford at home, then they've got Man United away, they've got Brighton away, and then they've got West Ham at home.
I could see them getting not many points from those five games.
Yeah, if they don't pick up probably at least 9 points from those
like
five
Brentford
games.
And West Ham, you as a Spurs fan, you probably go into those games thinking we should get 3 points. But the Man United game, Man United could blow hot or cold.
It's Brighton.
Brighton are a good side.
Yeah, really
and
good side.
Who's the other one in there?
Palace. They should be beating Palace.
Yeah.
I mean, if they don't come out with at least 7 points, they should be very, very disappointed.
Yeah.
And questions will begin to be asked. Has Ange run his course? He's talking loud in the media at the minute about he always wins the trophy.
Well, that's
second
the thing.
Season.
I think before end the North London Derby segment, we've got to talk about him giving it large in the media.
Yeah, you're not lying. You always win a trophy in second season, but you manage Celtic, bro. Like,
I'd win a trophy with Celtic in the first season.
It's mental. And like wherever else he's been, yes, that's really, it is a good thing to have.
Yeah.
But mate, you're at Spurs. They haven't won a trophy since like 2008.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, what's his kind of?
I don't get his angle.
Yeah, end game and angle with this is because it's like, it can only blow up in his face, because just don't say anything. And then if you
what trophies has he got this season that he could win? Maybe the Carabao Cup, less likely the FA Cup. That's it. They're not winning anything else.
Yeah, it's a weird one. I think he's starting to feel the pressure now, and that's why he's getting a bit bitey in the media.
And I really like him. I like him as a manager. I like him as a person.
Hmm.
It needs to be backed up on the pitch. They've gone fairly big. They bought in Gray. They bought in Solanke.
They've backed him.
Yeah, they bought in big money signings. He's got Richarlison rotting.
Richarlison is like, rotten.
They've kept hold of Son. You know, they've got players there. The question is, when's it going to prove fruitful? Because Daniel Levy is a man we know who wants a project, but he's not short on cutting members of the staff. You know, if it's not turning out, he will get rid of them. And I would, you know, if they don't pick up minimum 7 points in the next 4 games, I would be very concerned for the big man down under.
I'm saying it. Thomas Frank, we said this pre-season. We think Thomas Frank could make the step up. And I think he wouldn't be a bad appointment for Spurs.
It's not a long way to go, is it? Probably stay where
Spurs fans, let us know. Are you Ange in or are you Ange out? And Arsenal, get out!
From one team that are in the Premier League, but are on a course to be out very quickly, Everton.
I've never seen anything like this club right now.
Brother, they dropped a 2-goal lead in like the 90th minute to Bournemouth. And then go 2-0 up, play good football against Aston Villa. Big Aston Villa. And they lose 3-2.
My head would be on Jupiter, mate.
What? They can't buy a win at the minute.
My head would be gone. Bottling a 2-0 lead in a row.
It's so un-Sean Dyche-like to go 2-0 up and then throw away a lead. To do it 2 weeks in a row is nuts.
That shouldn't happen to any team more than once in a season. That is a storyline of a season. And they've had that 2 weeks in a row.
That's that game you always go, oh, imagine.
That's like when Nelson scored that last minute winner against Bournemouth. That's like a once in a season storyline. And that's happened to, they're on the receiving end of that twice.
It was, and we were at a pub.
We had a mate that had a bet on.
Yeah. And it
was funny until it wasn't funny.
Yeah, it was nuts. I mean, Villa to be 2-0 down, you're thinking, oh, it's got to be an off performance. It's got to be a really off performance. Or maybe Everton have found their feet. And Everton were fine. But then Villa just kept going. Then it went one. Then it went two. And then from out of fucking nowhere, John Duran is just like, I'm that guy. And blast one in from
John
like
Duran really is that guy. Is he like top 5 strikers in the league?
He can't stop scoring,
mate. Apparently in the summer, Villa turned down 40 offers for him.
Yeah, I know he did the Irons thing at the end of last season for West Ham.
I think West Ham has a big loss not to get him.
I mean, they're probably looking at Fulcrook now being like, fucking hell.
Done, yeah. But yeah, I think John Durant's an absolute baller. Is it no goals so far this season for Ollie Watkins? Or did he score one?
No,
he scored in that game, FS.
But yeah, I mean, you can't give up 2-goal leads.
You said, it's very un-Sean Dyche-like.
You can't do it 2 weeks in a row. It's unheard of. It's mental. It is relegation form 4 games into the season.
No wins so far this season.
It is so, so poor. And the worst part is that they play in good football at times.
Mm.
I really like Tim Iribunim. I think he's so good.
Tim Iribunim and Illiman and Dai again look really good this game. And I think Calvert-Lewin, in front of goal, he is so bad. But link-up play, putting himself about, he is a handful.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just pants everywhere, really.
The defense. I don't know if he gets better than this.
No,
and they've flirted with relegation for season on season now.
And now it's a bit of a catch 22 because, like, as owners, you probably have to kind of in the back of your mind think we are probably going to get relegated. We are like one of the worst teams in the league. Do we keep Sean Dyche, knowing that if we go down to the champ, he's a pretty good manager to have in the champ, or do we pull the trigger, trying to get a manager that will get us safe this season? Doesn't work, and then we go down into the champ in a bit of a managerial merry-go-round.
I think for me, if they go down,
they're going straight back up.
They're too much of an establishment to not come back up. Regardless of who they have, they'll sell big on like Branthwaite and fucking who else. I mean,
well, I don't know though, because you see the likes of obviously Leeds. Yeah, that's where I was going. It's kind of like obviously they've been in the champ for a lot longer than Everton would be, but they sold big this summer, and it still looks like they're going to struggle to get out of the champ.
Yeah, but the champ is stacked.
Champ is
and
stacked.
And Leeds, don't come at me, but they're not as much of a Premier League establishment.
No, definitely not.
Everton never been relegated.
Exactly.
And the question is now, stick or twist? Well, exactly. How long do you let it go?
Catch 22.
Because they're fortunate that there are a lot of shit teams in the league at the minute. Southampton look like they can't buy a win.
We'll talk about you in a minute.
They're in big fucking trouble. And I think like Leicester will do all right. I think
Ipswich
will do all right. I think Ipswich will play the best football out of all these sort of relegation fodder teams. But I struggle to think of anyone else who Everton finished.
Everton are categorically the worst team in the league at the moment.
The only thing I can think of is that they've done it before. They'll go on a run where they'll go undefeated for like six, seven games. And they'll pick up, you know, 7 points or something.
But I'm trying to think of who the players Everton had in those run of games that would come out and be like, take the game by the scruff of the neck.
Ducouré.
Now, I think they've just got like Onana maybe. But now they've got a lot of pants players everywhere.
Yeah.
No Branthwaite, which doesn't help.
No. I'm really struggling
to
see
worried for them.
Where Everton buy their next win from. It's just poor. It's poor. And I know, they've faced Tottenham. They've played Villa. It's just not going to get better, though. It's not going to get better. They need to win every single fucking game against Southampton, against Ipswich, against Leicester, against those...
Who they got coming up? Give me some fixtures.
I'll give you their run of fixtures.
Because I think it's like you said, they need to just win the games that they can win. I think that's what they did good last season, is against kind of like the worst teams, they did actually play all right and get good results.
They got Leicester away.
Big result. Big game.
That's the 6 points.
That's the 6 points already, mate.
They've got Palace at home.
Yeah. Palace at home.
That's winnable.
Yeah, it's winnable.
Newcastle at home. Then Ipswich away.
Big.
That's big.
So in the next four, they've got three games they should be winning.
They have to win.
And if they get three wins out of the next four, all this discussion probably stops.
Oh, 100%. But the only positive is that they're scoring goals. They need to fucking stop conceding them.
That's the thing. And like we said about Spurs, good sides need solid defences. And maybe, I don't know what the Brantford situation is. I probably should have looked into it. Maybe when he comes back and he forms that partnership with Tarkowski again, maybe that'll help. I've seen rumours that apparently Sean Dyche is looking to drop Jordan Pickford because he's had a really poor start to the season. So there is turmoil at the club.
I think if they sack Dyche, they've got to pay him off. That's a lot of money. They don't have any fucking money.
Mm.
They've got a whole new stadium to move into. The owners don't want to be there. No one wants to take over the club.
Who did I see that was... Jay-Z was in talks to buy.
That's not... So. Mate, he's going to have 100 problems.
That's literally what I saw, yeah.
Yeah, he's done for now.
Yeah, yeah.
It's nuts. It's absolutely nuts. And I feel for Everton fans, because I feel like it's been a long fucking time since they've had anything to shout about.
Yeah, like the situation days. And the club whole thing is bad. And then this double bottling of 2-0 leads on top of that. Like I said, my head would be gone.
Just throwing it out there, yeah? It's time to bring back Moyes.
Yeah, what's he doing?
Is it time for the reunion? Because
I don't hate it.
But who the fuck wants to go there?
We were talking about prime Barclays Everton. Just get all their man back.
I'm pretty sure Fellaini's still playing.
Do you know when Harry Redknapp used to get on the phone and just call like the boys like Nico Kranjčar and Peter Crouch and all them, man? This is like this generation's version of that. Get Moyes back. He'll call Tim Cahill, Leighton Baines. All them, man.
Yeah, but he's going to call all of them out of retirement.
Yeah, it'd be sick.
Yeah. No, it's...
It's not good.
Yeah, maybe they need the Expendables to come in and save Everton. I'm very fucking worried for them. Very worried for them. They've got to go hard the next 5 weeks.
And then maybe they need like a big January transfer window. I think they didn't do enough in the summer window either, which doesn't help.
No, I mean, Ilamandaye, I think he's been all right.
Yeah, I think he's a good signing. Iribunim, like we said, is a good signing, but... They're weak in the midfield.
They need killers.
They haven't got Onana anymore. I think he was a big part of that midfield. Dominic Calvert-Lewin, pants, get rid of him.
Usually,
this Tarkowski-Branthwaite combo that was really good last season hasn't kicked off this season.
Usually, those teams who sort of are better than the relegation fodder, but, you know, drift in mid-table, low mid-table, they have, like, one player, that, like, sort of talismanic player that you look to. Thinking, like, Brentford, they had Ivan Toney, you know. Those sort of players. West Ham... They're Bowen. You know what I mean? These teams have players.
Can't name
one. Who the fuck do Everton have?
It was Branthwaite, but like, do you want that talismanic man to be your centre-back?
It's nuts. It should be Dominic Calvert-Lewin.
It should be. But his career has been on a monumental decline since the Ancelotti period.
Just where he first stinks of like Andy Carroll.
Yeah, big time.
Before
we do our Haaland of the week and best of the rest, we'll quickly run through like the rest of the Prem. Haaland almost got back-to-back-to-back hat-tricks. Just the two goals for him. He's now on 8 goals in 4 games, which is absolutely disgusting.
Liverpool dropping points. Well, dropping all 3 points against Forest.
Absolutely love to see that. First bump in the Arne Slot era, which is interesting.
It's not about how hard you get hit. It's about how hard you can get hit.
What?
No, it's not about how hard you hit.
What the fuck are you on
about? It's about how hard you can get hit.
And get back up.
Yeah, that's the one.
I don't know what you're on about.
Because, you know, like, they're smashing teams out of the water.
Yeah.
And then they get hit. So it's not back. Can they come back from it, you know?
Who they got? Well, they got Champions League. They're actually playing AC Milan tonight, which is interesting stuff. Shout out our Champions League is back video with the United by Football
They've
boys.
Got a good run of fixtures to sort of get back on track. They've got Bournemouth at home. It's a bit of a tricky one, but at Anfield,
you should
see them doing it. Wolves away, Crystal Palace away, Chelsea at home, then Arsenal away.
So the three before Chelsea and Arsenal, you take 9 there and it's happy days. And then the Arsenal-Chelsea back-to-back is tasty.
Very interesting.
Man United got a 3-0 win against Southampton. Was a weird one because Southampton actually looked like the better side for like the first 25 minutes, and then I think it's just a case of Man United have got actually too many decisive players in the final third. Maybe something that Spurs don't have. You've got the like of Marcus Rashford, Garnacho, Ahmad, even the likes of Xerxes looks quite good, quite like him.
Yeah, I'm just looking at the table now and just seeing how it's shaping up. Newcastle sound 10 points,
yeah, undefeated, I think,
third,
yeah,
in the league.
Yeah, it's good.
This is what they need to be doing, going under the radar.
I had them fourth until I bottled it last minute and said they're going to finish fifth. But I knew they were going to have a good season.
Nottingham Forest, 8 points.
Also undefeated.
Yeah. Let's have a look towards the bottom of the table. On 2 points apiece, Leicester, Palace and Ipswich.
Leicester, Palace and Ipswich.
3 teams destined to be in a relegation
Maybe
battle.
You didn't expect Palace to be down there. But I think a lot of people expected Palace to have a pretty tasty looking season.
I think losing Anderson is massive.
But yeah,
massive.
They
didn't really invest too heavily.
No. I like the look of Nketiah in his first game. I think that could prove to be a good signing.
And then Wolves on 1 point in 18th. And then rounding off the table, you've got Southampton, Everton, 0 points.
Not good.
It's bad.
Just quickly tell me who the top two are, quickly.
Man City on 12 points. And then Arsenal, Newcastle joint second.
Love to see it, mate. Love to see it.
Arsenal do have scored 2 more goals.
But yeah, right, Luke, Haller a week. What are we cooking up?
It's got to be fucking Everton, mate.
I
think we've had them last week and it's this week again.
Yeah, it's bad.
Mate, if you give away a 2-goal lead, you're done for. It's nuts. No matter what the kind of goal they score against you to take the lead is, You can't be letting that happen.
It's not good enough.
It's embarrassing. It's fraudulent behaviour. And every player on that pitch needs to take a look at themselves. It's weak mentality. Dyche must be fucking
I was going to say, how do you even navigate that as a manager? Because you just go into the dressing room and be like, oh my God, I'd love to be a fly on the wall. Because, mate, the profanities that would have left my mouth.
I would have got Dominic
Calvert-Lewin by his dreads and fucking yeeted him around the dressing room, the stupid twat.
Straight up Jordan Pickford.
Yeah, honestly.
It's nuts.
Weak.
It's weak mentality. Defensively, they're all over the place. Mm. And if you give away a 2-goal lead, it's out of the week. 100%. Moving on to a much nicer note, the best of the rest.
Luke's excited about this one.
Very excited. QPR took on Sheffield Wednesday. Hillsborough wasn't going so well. We were stinky. 0-0. Then Barry fucking Bannon, in like the 91st minute, scores this exquisite half-volley scissor. Oh, mate, it's brilliant. It like floats. It's very slow. It floats, clips in off the crossbar. Sheffield Wednesday, 1-0 up.
But that's not the best of the rest.
The point is coming home. The 3 points are staying at Hillsborough. Fucking just give it to QPR to score the worst goal in Championship history.
That's best for
it. I've never seen pinball like it. You got the goalkeeper Nardi in the box, and then it just pinballs around. No one knows where the ball's going. 95th minute, academy prospect Alfie Lloyd scores his first goal for the club, brings back a point to Loftus Road.
You'd love to see it. Luke prime, loves to see it.
That is prime championship football.
That's prime. What was the championship sponsored before?
Coca-Cola.
Prime Coca-Cola champ.
Yeah, I prefer the E-Power championship. That's the one for me. And yeah.
Love to see it. Now on to the big segment. We have a lot of guys talking in the DMs that they think they're going to catch Jacob on 6 points in ball draw fives. So we had two contestants this week. We had Sonny from Sonny Talk Spurs. And we had Matt from the Back of the Net podcast. Let's see how they did.
Hey guys, hope you're well. You want my predictions for this week in the Premier League. The first game is Southampton-Manchester United. And I think this is going to be the first game where Manchester United, you know, turn up in the Premier League and actually put on a good performance against a poor Southampton side away from home. I'm going to go with 3-1 to the Red Devils. Next, you want Palace-Leicester. Now, this is an intriguing one because Palace have been a bit poor so far. Leicester, a bit okay, but, you know, you can sort of see where they're going to be heading this season. I think Palace are going to scrape this 1-0. Fulham-West Ham, a very exciting game. I think in last fixtures, in the game last season, it ended 5-0 to Fulham. I'm not expecting that, but I'll put 2-1 to Fulham against West Ham. And then you've got Villa-Everton. I'm excited for this. Villa are a good team to watch. Everton are so, so poor. And I'll put Villa 2, Everton 1. And then you put the North London Derby. And I've said this prediction on both our videos this week. I'm going to go for a 1-1 draw. I think it's going to be a cagey affair. But yeah, I'm nervous. I've done this. I do a predictions league on my Super Brew. And I'm okay, but I'm not amazing. So let's see how I get on.
Yes, people. This is your boy, Matt, from Back of the Net podcast. Big up Luke and Ross for calling me out for this one. This is the ball draw fives. Yeah. This is one where you predict the results of five games. And, you know, try and get up the leaderboard. I know who's top and I need to beat him. But yeah, a bit of fun. Listen, guys, make sure you subscribe to them as well on TikTok, YouTube. They're doing big things. Funny guys, like, you will really enjoy it. Follow the movement now. Don't get left behind. Let's get into it. Southampton, Manchester United, 12:30 kickoff. This one, as much as I want to say Southampton will win, I think Manchester United will pull this out of the bag. I feel they've just got enough quality to do it. Yes, they're not in the best position, but I don't think Southampton have enough to really cause problems to Manchester United. Listen, Samaris will be bumping. It'll be nice to see Aaron Ramsdale as well. But listen, maybe he can have a sensational game and keep the ball at the net. But I think, yeah, United will pull through in this one. Listen, I've been watching Marcus Rashford training the week as well. You know, doing their little videos on Instagram. And listen, maybe he might be pumped up for this one. I think this is a game where he scores as well. I think this is one where he will come to the fore and score. He has to. Like, I don't know about you guys, but I like Marcus Rashford. I know he's a rival player, but I do like him. I don't know, it's weird. I've got a soft spot for him. But yeah, I think United will pull through in that one. I'm thinking like a 2-1 victory, if anything. So yeah, 2-1 Man United in that one. Next, we've got Crystal Palace-Leicester. I think Palace at home, I'm confident they're going to win this one. I don't think Leicester have enough strength in depth for certain games. I think like at home, they're going to cause a bit of a problem to a lot of teams. But I feel like this one's, it's just a bit too much. I think that Palace got a lot of technically sound players. Eze, Wharton. I also think that the fact they've kept Mark Geehy and have signed the defender from Wolfsburg, I think that's made the defence a lot better as well. So Palace in a good place. I think Glasner's cooking over there and I can see this one being a comfortable victory for them. Hopefully some Eze fantasy football points as well. If you know, you know. Yeah, and I'll go with that one. I'm going to go with a 2-0 win to Palace in that. In the following game, Fulham-West Ham. Listen, West Ham need revenge after last season. Fulham put them in a spliff. Like, it was terrible. But you know what? I feel like both teams have had a good summer window. And this is a season where both teams have to kind of push on a bit. Like with Fulham, they're always like in that same-ish position where they were every year. West Ham have to push forward now. They were backed in the window. The sporting director did bits. Full Krug, Somerville, Carlos Soler. Who else has signed? They've still got Kudus, Bowen's there. Like, they've got good players, you know what I mean? Todibo at the back, Wan-Bissaka. So they're going to expect to do well this season. I think this game will be a bit tricky for them. I feel like Fulham will come out winners in this one. I'm thinking maybe like a 3-1 to Fulham. Again, I need fantasy football points. Anthony Robertson, please come forward as you have been. But yeah, I think it'll be a tricky game for West Ham, and I think it's one where Fulham will show their quality as well. Craven Cottage is one of them grounds, like when it's bumping and they're playing a quick football, the fans are on their back and, you know, they really push through in the end. So yeah, I think that's one Fulham will win. We've got Aston Villa, Everton. Take Everton now. Absolute dross. You know what I mean? Bottom of the league. I predicted it before the start of the season. I said, this is the season where they're gone. I don't think Dash finishes the season. I think, you know, a lot of players are going to be looking and going like, why am I here? Like, it's a club that's in big turmoil. Like, they need investment quickly. You know, you're going to a new stadium and you're going to be in the Championship. It's quite peak. It's quite peak. Sorry, Everton fans. Sorry. I'm not trying to be all doom and gloom, but it is. I think Villa will win this one. Villa did play well against Arsenal. Could have easily won that game. Yeah, Arsenal come out winners, but they were unlucky. Unlucky and some bad finishing. A bit of a combination of both. Yeah, and I could just see Villa run out good winners in this one. I can see Rodgers having a big game as well. Quality, quality player, so big him up. I can see a 4-0 win for Villa in this one. Sounds crazy, I know, but I think 4-0. Finally, the North London derby, Spurs-Arsenal. It's going to be a tough game. Arsenal got a lot of absentees. I still feel that Arsenal can pull through. I still feel Arsenal got the quality to pull through. I think the signing of Raheem Sterling can make a difference. I just think now he's going to play with a point to prove. He's played with Mikel Arteta before. You know, some people are going to think, oh, we're nuts. We're expecting this Raheem redemption. But I really think it's going to come. And yes, it's going to be a good game. Listen, Tottenham always do well at home. Sonny always performs well. But I think it's one Arsenal. They'll pull out the bag. I think they'll keep a clean sheet as well. I'm going to go 2-0 Arsenal. Come on, boys.
Remember, 6 to beat from Jacob. 3 points for a correct scoreline. 1 point for a correct result. No points for a wrong one.
See how they did?
Right. Talk to me, Luke. What do they do?
Right. Sonny, let's start with you. Predicted Man United 3, Southampton 1.
Ooh, close.
Not too far off.
Yeah, close. But we don't do points for close. No skimmers.
You got 1 point for a correct result.
Nice.
You predicted Palace 1, Leicester 0.
What was that in the end? That was a
two-all draw,
yeah.
Nil-pois for you, mate. The West Ham Fulham, you predicted 2-1 Fulham.
1-0.
Nil points. Everton 1, Villa 2. Get a point for that.
Close again.
And then for the big one, the North London derby, optimistically, you went Spurs 1, Arsenal 1.
Oh, optimistically went for a draw.
The life of the Spurs. You get 0 points for that,
nil
mate.
Point.
Because, I don't know if you heard, but Arsenal came away with a...
That's 2 points for you, Sonny.
Yeah, 2 points for Sonny. I think that puts him bottom of the leaderboard.
We'll let you back on another time.
Unless so Matt has had a stinker, which we'll leave to you to decide. He predicted a 2-1 Man United win, so he gets a point for that. Palace 2, Leicester win. So both boys going with a Palace win.
Nil-pois.
West Ham 1, Fulham 3. 0 points for you on that one. He went big. Villa 4, Everton 0.
You'd take a point for that. Didn't actually happen, but you'd take a point.
And then he went 2-0 to the mighty Arsenal.
He backed the boys.
Spurs, which means that he finishes on 3 points.
Points as well, yeah.
Which I think puts him joint second.
Joint second. So it's 2 for Sonny. And then Lewis, Charles, and Matt on 3 points. And then Jacob, way in the lead. Double all the second places on 6 points.
Yeah.
Like we said, get a correct result in your cooking.
If you get a correct result, it's locked off.
Yeah, it's locked off.
But yeah, if you want to check out and find out how this week's contestant gets on, make sure you are subscribed, because we'll be letting you know how they got on in next week's podcast. Anything you would like to add?
Check out Classic Football Shirts. If you want any nice retro football shirts or currently football shirts, I caught myself a couple of nice little bits recently. And yeah, use our code in the description, plus BallDraw10.
Yep.
And you get 10% off at checkout.
If you click the referral link down in the description, use code BallDraw10, save yourself a little 10% off. It's nice. It's coming up to the winter season now. Cop yourself some nice long shirts. Do like a nice long shirt, long sleeve football shirt.
Come on.
And yeah, make sure you are subscribed to all of our social medias, TikTok, X, Instagram.
We're pumping out so much content. It's 2-3 videos a week.
It's mental. It's mental. And it's only going to get more and more as we head towards the winter part of the season. The fixtures come fast and furious. The Champions League is kicked off. it's non-stop football, and I'm loving it.
Champions League 3 times a week now as well. 3 days. Tuesday, Wednesday and Thursday.
Can't complain, can you?
Mate, it's mad.
It's been Board Draw, episode 108.
And it's live.